Well, if one were to ask who are the sweethearts of ensemble theater, I think everyone now would say the Marvelous Wonderettes. And the Wonderettes are returning to the ensemble. And three of the original quartet of Quintessential Choral Cuties are coming back. And I have two of them in the studio, Sarah Mackey, who's playing Betty Jean. Welcome, Sarah.
Thank you.
And Denise Devlin, who is returning as Cindy Lou. Welcome, Denise.
Thank you.
The third Wonderette that is returning is Brooke Rasidlo-Steele as Susie. And we have a new Wonderette this time around.
Yes, Leslie Goddard is joining us. She is new to the Cincinnati area, and we welcome her with open arms. She's fabulous.
And she's playing Missy.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
For people who may not be familiar with the Wonderettes, give us a little background on them.
Well, the Wonderettes, they were put together as a girl group in 1958 to save Springfield High's prom. They came together and they did a show and they were fantastic. So they've been invited back by Principal Varney to sing at the graduation day in Marvelous Wonderettes caps and gowns.
Now, the Wonderettes have appeared in three of four musicals by Roger Bean. The Marvelous Wonderettes, the Winter Wonderettes, and now the Marvelous Wonderettes caps and gowns. Timeline-wise, it's a little out of sync. Give us sort of an overview of how the arc actually happens.
Okay. If you saw Marvelous Wonderettes and Winter Wonderettes, you want to come in thinking that Winter Wonderettes has never happened. Winter Wonderettes actually was a little bit out of sequence because it was a great idea to do a holiday type of show. So the first act takes place right there at graduation, 1958, just where we were in the first act of Marvelous Wonderettes. And the second act takes place 10 years later, just right where we were at the second act of Marvelous Wonderettes, just a little bit later. And then Winter Wonderettes would actually occur after that.
And one of the great things about the Wonderette cycle is it uses original music from the period. What kind of preparation did you all do for learning the material? Not just learning the songs, but learning the styles. Were you locked in a room and listening to Leslie Gore and all? Or how did you go about doing this?
My big inspiration for the first and the second of the Marvelous Wonderette series, trilogy we'll say, was actually Dusty Springfield. I got to sing Son of a Preacher Man. So I put her on repeat over and over again because she just has such a classic sound. And I tried to emulate it as best as I could and then filter it into the Cindy Lou character for the Wonderettes.
And Sarah?
I used to listen to this music when I was a kid. I think I was born in the wrong decade. I was a big fan of all of those classic hits of the 50s and 60s. I had them on cassette tape that I would listen to over and over. And so I was really familiar with a lot of them in the first time and then this time as well. What is lovely about, especially this time for me anyway, is that I actually have a lot of different styles I get to sing this time. They're all from the period, but they're different styles. And so it actually, I get to draw on an awful lot of my previous lives. It's wonderful. It's really just a drawing from an awful lot of experiences.
And unlike the girl groups of the time, you all actually rotate who's soloing and who's doing backup. Do you find that you're each singing the same vocal part in backup, or are you all switching the vocal parts as well? Does somebody sing alto one time and soprano the next time?
It's pretty consistent.
Yes.
If there's something that's maybe a little bit easier for somebody to go from one song to another, like, you know, I'm in the basement, but if my next song is in the rafters, Scott Woolley, who's musical director, will switch things around to make it a little bit easier for me to make that transition without much trouble.
Yeah, and it's usually Cindy Lou and Missy are on top. Mm-hmm. Cindy Lou gets the lead quite a bit, which is her Diana Ross moment, I guess you would say. She likes those. But yeah, we stay consistent and then we'll hop up if Missy's on the top line or has the lead vocal. And it's pretty seamless the way that Roger Bean and his arranger has done it this time.
Now, you mentioned Scott Woolley as musical director, and it is being directed by the artistic director of ETC, D. Lynn Meyer. They've been actually directing all three of your trilogy.
Yes, with Patty James, choreographer. Yep.
So it's kind of like coming home and being with family to redo this.
Absolutely. I know, actually, Denise and I picked up just where we left off, and we laugh at each other an awful lot. But they couldn't have put four more different girls in a room and said, be best friends. And we have different approaches to everything, but my goodness, it really works, and we all just really get along, and we have such respect for each other. It's fantastic.
What is it about these shows that you think appeal to audiences generally? Because obviously he's written three of them for this quartet, and it's been selling out every time you do a Wonderette show at ETC. What is the appeal?
I think it really resonates with my parents' generation and the generation before that. Every single song, I'm sure they'll be able to link a memory to, whether they were at prom or whether they went to the drive-in movies. And it's just a sense of nostalgia that you can come into the theater and for 2 hours live your memories.
I know in the past, too, the four of you really played well off of each other and had a lot of fun. And you had a lot of fun with the audience. Are you going to be doing some audience interaction with this one as well?
Just a little.
Just a little bit.
It's all in good fun.
Don't be afraid of the ladies, gentlemen. Don't be afraid.
Exactly. No one should be afraid to come.
Now, you've mentioned in the first one and in this one, the first act takes place as they're graduating high school, and the next one takes place 10 years later. So obviously, lots of things have occurred. As actresses, what is it that you need to do to sort of differentiate between those two acts?
I find it easier to play actually the 28-year-old because that's where we are in our lives as 20-somethings, and it's really easy to resonate into that generation. What's hardest is to get your mindset ready for Act One and to step into graduation again, because you see yourself as one thing, but really everything was caught up in that day and in the excitement of prom and in the exciting of where you're going to go. So you have to let everything go after Act Two and start fresh again the next day.
I need a different energy for Act One than I have right now. And it's a huge lesson to remember that Betty Jean, when she is 18, is full of that teenage life. And she's full of that, has the whole world in front of her. And things don't go as well for her as she would have liked by the time she hits 28. She's more grounded. She's more jaded. I wouldn't say she's angry because that just puts a big old stamp on her. But she does have definitely a different energy between the two acts. And yes, Denise couldn't have said it better. After Act Two is done, you have to wipe that away so you can start over and be 18 again the next night.
One of the things that people will often talk about with girl group sounds from those periods is that a lot of it was kind of bubblegum and sugary, but not quite so. There's a nice variety, especially in Act Two, of songs that you all get to sing.
Yes, they tell great stories. The songs from that period tell very concise stories, and they have emotion behind them, and that's why they blew up so much. For example, things like Hold On, I'm Coming is one of the songs that's in there. And the horns behind it, the harmonies behind it, that is a driving force song. And I can't think of anything. If three girls were going to sing to another one to get her spirits up, I can't think of anything more powerful than something like that.
And Act Two, crafted by Roger Bean, is done so well because every girl gets their chance in the spotlight. But if you remember back to Marvelous Wonderettes, at the end, it's about girl power, about unity, and we're going to bring it home this time around just as well as I think we did it last time, too.
Well, that is The Marvelous Wonderettes, Caps and Gowns, playing at ETC May 1st through the 19th. I'd like to thank this evening's guests, Sarah Mackey and Denise Devlin. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
For more information on ETC's production of The Marvelous Wonderettes, Caps and Gowns, and for more information on ordering tickets, which you should probably do as soon as possible, be sure to visit our website at WVXU.org. For Around Cincinnati, this is Jim Stump.
Look like nothing's gonna change. Everything still remains the same. I can't do what 10 people tell me to do. So I guess I'll remain the same. Sitting here resting my bones, and this loneliness won't leave me alone. Listen, 2,000 miles I roam just to make this dock my home. Now I'm just gonna sit at the dock of a bay, watching the tide roll away. Sitting on a darker bay, waste.